Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. The Horror Club is a group of individuals who have way too much time on their hands, who love to entertain other individuals who also have way too much time on their hands.
Welcome!
We are your hosts, Niza,
Frosty,
and Anna.
And this is Season 2, Episode 9. Bringing on the spirit.
Woo!
Woo! On this week's episode, we'll be jumping right into our interview with our three special guests. Stay tuned for the Would You Rather game afterward, where we discuss and have deep conversations regarding our choices with deaths on dildos, freckle punching, baby punching with extra fingers, balls on your chin, and masturbating in the backyard. Because what is a horror club show without a masturbation joke? Take it away, Frosty.
Welcome back, members. Today we are joined once again by one of our favorite guests, Mr. Alexander S. Brown, and he's bringing with him two new guests, Miss Kat Axtell and Phil Washington.
Hello, everyone. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Sound late delay, but we're all good.
Hi, I'm Kat. Nice to meet everybody and talk with everybody.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alexander S. Brown, horror author and also a movie producer at this point, I guess you could say. I write screenplays as well as writing horror novels and short story collections. And also, I dabble in spoken word poetry that's very aggressive. Other than that, I do photography as a side hobby, and I've started doing a newsletter that will allow people to have giveaways, and it'll keep them up to date on cool blogs and stuff. So you can go to my website, www.alexandersbrown.com, to learn more.
Yay!
Yay!
Thanks for letting us go first, Alex.
Yeah, Alex.
He just schooled you guys. He's just like,
He has been on 4 times before.
Gotcha, Alex.
Okay, we'll start over. Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Philip Washington. I play Albert in the upcoming short film Mean Spirited. I am an actor, and I'm also a VFX creator as well.
Hi, I'm Kat Axtell. I am the executive producer with Mean Spirited, also art department, casting, probably a little bit of everything. I work behind the scenes in a lot of movies and TV shows, from art department to clearance coordinator to producer, you name it, I do it. I'm also an actor as well, or actress, and I sing.
Ooh, a singer.
So, Alex, please give us an update on what you have been doing since we last had you on our episode with Z Queen.
Okay, well, as a matter of fact, this is going to bring Z Queen into it a little bit as well. We've been working on Mean Spirited, the short film based off of the short story in my best-selling book, The Night the Jack-O-Lantern Went Out. And that's been, of course, with Kat and Phil and a lot of other great people. But Z Queen is actually doing the makeup effects on this short film. So we've been working on that. That's where a lot of the focus has been lately in my world. And also at the same time, I ended up pulling Cerinthia Falls from the publisher. Even though I'm pleased with how the book is, there was a lot of behind-the-scenes deals going on that I just did not feel was right for me. And so I pulled the book from him, and it's going to be shopped around a little bit more in the new year because it'll make a full year come October when I pulled it. But in that meantime, I have directed over Traumatized Part 2 to a publisher, and we're just waiting to get the edits back at this point. Part 2 is going to be a lot darker than Part 1, and I don't necessarily think I'm going to want to censor anything like how the first book was censored. So it's going to be pretty extreme with Part 2. With Cerinthia Falls, I wrote a 50-page intro that will bring everything together. There's going to be 7 books in the series. And you will see some characters kind of fly in and out from time to time. But in order to get the series down by a timeline, I had to do a lot of research and bring in a lot of fact and mix it with fiction So there's about a good 50 pages that I have to work with that's going to be side notes for the upcoming books.
Just don't J.J. R. Martin us with Game of Thrones style, you know? Nisa and I have been anxiously awaiting the second Cerinthia Falls book, so we're like,
Well, thank you. The sequel, everything is together for it. I have my timeline set, my scene set, my characters ready. And I just had to get some other things out of the way first before I could really dive into it full throttle. But myself and another author by the name of Sayla Janelle, she's really fantastic. She does a lot of urban fantasy, and she also does a lot of costume work. But we set each other to have a goal this year, and that goal is by the end of the year to have a brand new complete novel finished. And the sequel to Cerinthia Falls is my goal to have finished at the end of the year.
Sweet. That's really good. So we don't have to wait that long.
So how did you get together with Kat and Phil, Alex?
Well, funny story. God, what was it, Kat? Maybe 10 years ago?
Yeah, 10 years
ago. Somewhere about there. I was doing my first convention book signing through Chuck Jett, the guy that we had on who directed The Acquired Taste.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was through him that I met Kat, and it was by fate because I was sitting there signing my books and stuff like that, and I was approached by Kat, and we shared a common interest, which is the love of horror. So it sparked our friendship. Well, later, I'm in Jackson, and I see her working at Hot Topic, and this was in my Hot Topic days. So she and I, we really hit it off even more, and she was doing all of this fantastic art, such as, like, modeling. She was doing singing and getting into the movie and film business a lot more. And we just stayed in touch over that time. And it wasn't too long after Cerinthia Falls came out that we really started getting into close contact once again. And that's when she presented to me that she wanted to do a film off of one of my short stories. And this had been kind of tossed back and forth for maybe about a year before we really found one that we wanted to work with. And once we found that, that's when she said, okay, well, I really want you to meet the rest of my crew. I want you to meet Phil. So out of the crew who she works with, Phil was actually the first person I met. And instantly, very much like how Kat and I did, it was an instant click.
So like you said that you guys kind of went back and forth on trying to decide what story you wanted to adapt into a film. Why did you choose the night the Jack Lantern went out?
Well, we share a common love for Halloween, and so it kind of zoned in a little bit more on that book. And at the same time, we were like, all right, well, what could we pull off? What would be somewhat easy to do and, you know, not put us, like, in debt? Which we did the GoFundMe accounts, and those have helped a great deal. We've had a lot of people backing this, a lot of people supporting this, so that's helped this dream come true. Now, when I had pitched Mean Spirited to her, I wasn't really prepared to see it go in the direction that it has, which that's not a bad thing. When I work with other people, the first thing I do is invite them to bring their creativity. And I love to just have one great big group where we feed off of one another. And so it was at my kitchen table that Kat, myself, and Phil all sat down. And the story is very PG-13 related. But by the time we were finished throwing ideas back and forth with one another, we wanted there to be a social commentary with this. We wanted to focus on social issues that were very relevant during the 1960s and are still relevant today. And by the time we were done meeting about it, the script that we had turned out was just a strict R rating. So it's not PG-13 friendly at all.
No. So there's
got a little risque.
Oh, there's a definite change in genre from page to screen.
when your viewers are going to watch this film and they've read that short story, are they going to see like a real big change in storyline?
A minor change. A minor change that causes a bigger change. But for fans of the story still plays out the way that it does, but we're introducing a different perspective that allows the story to become stronger and more influential. Personally, for myself, when I went back over the screenplay and I was making revisions and altering it and such where it could fit the vision we discussed, my number one goal was to create something violent that could perhaps cause people not to be so violent. It's creating violence for the sake of getting rid of violence in our tangible world.
I got some really powerful things that we're playing with when we're shooting. It has some messages that are really important for us to get across, and I think that Alex's readers will really embrace that and probably like it, if not more, you know, the movie version, just because it is pushing some boundaries, but also in a good way. And like we said, we didn't change the story. With anything, when you're doing film, you have to look at a story, like, say, a short story, and, you know, you have to minimize it to where it will make sense for the viewers and what is feasible to do. So it's awesome that we have these backers and we're putting our own money into it. Like, we want the whole 1960s feel. Like, you're not going to get – we have a wardrobe person who's doing all our wardrobe for us. I don't want to spare any expense when it comes to Alex. I want Alex's stuff to be shown, and I want it to be shown how it should be. And that's why we're taking our time with it and making sure it does justice to the short story.
What are some of the other controversies that you're going to be bringing to the screen? Is it going to be just based racially, or is it going to be based off sexuality as well?
A little bit of both, I guess you could say.
So the feel or the atmosphere of the film, is it gonna be more serious, like a suspense horror thriller, or is it gonna have like some comedic air to it?
I could think maybe two of the characters, the two brothers that we worked with, they're not brothers in real life, but their characters are. They bring a small bit of humor there, but it's the kind of humor where you feel bad about laughing over it if you are.
Oh, no. oh, one of those, oh, I just laughed at that, I'm going to go to hell.
and I mean, that is if you do laugh at it, because, I mean, if you do, that's good, whatever. You found what we were working with. But their humor comes across like the schoolyard bully. And so that's what that is. Other than that, we really have no humor in this film. It's very to the point, very punch you in the gut.
Does remind me of like Halloween, like a cult classic. Like, I think we're trying to mix a cult classic feel with something a little bit more serious. So I think it'll still have that element of, oh, I could pop this in on Halloween night and watch it. You know what I mean? Like the color and the tones are all going to come and make it lighter in certain times, and, you know, the feel of the film with the music. So there will be, like, different things to kind of grab you in. So I definitely would call it, like, a legit Halloween film.
Nice. So, Phil, you're going to be acting in Mean Spirited. Is that correct?
That is so correct. Got 100 on that math test.
can you tell us a little bit about your role in the film?
Actually, I play the lead, who is Albert, and Albert is very charismatic, he's very charming, and he dresses well, and he's very socially acceptable. And you got to think about it, because we're talking about the 60s here, and in 1954, I think Brown versus the Board of Education had just passed, like, segregation in educational facilities, and then right after that, in 1964, that was the Civil Rights Act as well, and that, you know, just segregation amongst all facilities, local businesses, and all that stuff like that. So to have this African American male move into a predominantly white neighborhood is, you know, you have to figure out, like, how did he get into that house if that time period is going on? So I think this character is very charismatic, and he works his way into people's lives and conversations very charmingly. And then those are just like physical and mental features that he wants you to know about him. But deep down, there's a layer of some kind of disturbing mental case going on.
That's pretty good that you've kind of onioned out that character, like not just playing him as he is, but you also have to play him within his time structure, what had happened in his past to make him the way he is now. So that's really good. That's what I really like when people are very method with their acting, you know, where they're just like, okay, I'm not just playing this person, I'm playing his whole history. Like we're not just doing what he did this week, we're doing what he's been doing the past 20 years of his life or so. So that's very good to hear that you'll be doing that.
Yeah, thanks.
He's good. He's good. And he really has been. I can't see anybody else as Albert but him, and I can't wait. I know this is going to be a challenging role, but it's also something new to see Phil in, and something that I think Alex has written out so passionately. So we're all taking it really serious. We want to make it perfect.
Well, it was really kind of funny because how he ended up getting the role of Albert is when Kat and Phil left my house after we discussed changing the script up a little bit so we could add social commentary into it, we parted ways with the question of, well, who's going to be Albert? And a few minutes passed and I thought about him, like, you know, I really like Phil. He's a really cool guy. He had showed me some of the things that he worked on before on his laptop. I loved what I saw. And he naturally has that charisma when meeting new people. And that was one of the key elements that I always saw in this character. And so I texted Kat over. I'm like, do you think we could get Phil to play him?
I was thinking the same thing, though. I was like, he's got to be Albert.
That's amazing that you were like just discussing bringing the show to life. And then later on you find, or not the show, excuse me, the story to life. And then you find out that, oh, wait, Albert was sitting in my kitchen the whole time.
I don't know if you want Albert in your kitchen, though.
How do you get into characters? Like, what, because we just discussed you, not just like being the person that they are right there, but using everything that they've gone through to become that person, I guess. So how do you get in that mindset?
Oh, that's a good question. You know,
it's talent.
Talent, but it's also a technique as well, because, you know, when you're reading a script, you get basically lines. You don't get backstory of a character. And most actors create backstories, you know, to help them fall in line with the character, you know, a little bit better. I did my research through the time period, and then I sat down with Alex and we, you know, shared what Albert's backstory can be and stuff like that. And I took all of that and I took the script and I read through the script and I just developed his the small things, the way he holds his hands or the way he walks, the way he, you know, tilts his head when he talks, you know, how would he talk to someone, or, you know, it's a lot of factors. So what I do is I collect myself. I give myself like a good breathing moment, and I think about all the things that, you know, I collected about this character. And then when action comes, I just roll it all into one, and then party begins.
Yeah, it's a long process. It's an awesome process, though. You know, like, a lot of times what I hate for actors is when they have to read something, they just get, she's sitting on a sidewalk, she's sad, you know, and then she has these lines. Well, for us, you know, we have to write out why did she walk in those shoes? Why is she wearing shorts? Why does she have dirt on her face, or why is she sitting on the curb? What made her get to the curb? Was she drunk last night? Does she have a home? Like, so you kind of have to make your own stories and figure out who you want this character to be. And it's a little bit about the writing, but it's a lot about, you know, changing it to be for how you want it to be. You know, how are you going to portray it as well?
It's not even fleshing it out, making it more real. Like, you could read it on the page that, like you said, she's walking down the street in high heel shoes or something, but then it can be like, well, why was she wearing high heel shoes? She was on a date. Why is she walking? Maybe her date left her, or they attacked her and she had to leave, something.
I mean, that's the fun of imagination, and I think that's where a lot of actors have a hard time, is they just read the words, but That's why we wrote the words. That's why Alex writes these words, so they can come to life. And, you know, even like reading a story in your head, like when you're reading, I don't know if y'all do this, but when I read a story, I kind of become the characters. Like, I'll have a voice for that one in my head when I'm reading, you know. And I think of it as, you know, how I would perceive it. And I think that's the same way with acting, is you just got to make it come to life. It's not words anymore. It's a person, and you have to make it a person.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we do that, right, Aza? Anna, she was getting emotional on that last book that we read.
A question for Phil. Now, did you just stick with the script, or did you actually read Alex's short story? Have you read his short story?
Oh, yes, I had to read the short story. It wouldn't be right if I didn't read it.
So do you think your character is more fleshed out than the one in the book because of all the issues that you're going to be dealing with in the film? Or do you share similarities to that character?
Oh. I don't have any similarities because I don't have a crush on anyone younger than me. and I'm not a psycho.
Are you sure? No. Alex, are we sure?
I don't know.
That's debatable.
I think people who say that they aren't psycho usually are psycho, right? Because they have to tell people they're not.
I think he's already playing Albert right now.
Yes. Don't tell anyone. This conversation doesn't go anywhere past us.
Oh no.
You're going to die.
But there are some similarities when it comes to like conversations with each character versus the book and the short film. I think in the short film, the character that I'm portraying has more issues than the character did in the book, only because of the color of his skin and what time period that we are working within.
I agree with that. And the reason why I say that is because, like, when writing a short story as an author, you have so few pages to get the point across and to do it very quickly. So in short stories, there's not too much of a leeway for character development. It's just kind of a seasoned character development. But with short films, the way that this one's being done and the length that we're aiming for, it does allow quite a bit more character development. So personally, I would say that Phil's take on this character is quite a bit stronger in the visual sense because of what we're able to do beyond what was just like maybe 12 pages of a short story.
So Kat, tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing on Mean Spirited.
Oh, I'm just the head of I was going to direct and Alex wanted me to, but I brought it to my people and I had already directed a couple of things. So somebody else wanted to turn and it's two companies that work together. Ours is Modern Amusement and our other company that works with all the technical side and cameras are Hidden Planet. So our two companies came together and we decided we would give Channing, who is our director, a chance. So basically what I do is I make sure it runs how I want it to run. And everything goes out.
She's the boss.
I am. I mean sometimes, but I want it perfect. And I do that on every film. If it's not perfect, we're going to do it again. There's no need for anything less than that. I also have to make sure, you know, everybody's dressed and ready. And I just take that on myself. I don't have to do that, but I do. And that the scenes are properly set up and that our lighting's good, our location's great, our art department's good, which I probably take on more than I can chew, but I can't help it. I want it to be perfect. And Alex can tell you I can be a hothead sometimes on set, but I get it
And
done.
Sometimes I'm the one where I'm, like, standing between people, like, it's okay, we're under a lot of stress, I have more coffee, there's some more Little Debbies.
I mean, the first half of the shoot, we've already filmed the first half of the movie, well, the beginning of the movie, and it was in really cold weather, and I was proud of everybody. I think we were over 40 hours in 3 days, and we didn't get much sleep, and it was really cold. It was all outside night shoots, and, I mean, it was cold. So We had people with heaters.
And our lead actress, Caitlin, the costume that she had to wear, I mean, it's literally just nothing more than nylon, just thin, thin nylon. God. And so here we are out in this 30-degree weather. It's the weekend before New Year's Eve, and it's starting to, like, rain and drizzle on the last night. And so myself and Z-Queen, we kind of had to huddle around Caitlin to get her body heat regulated because she was starting to shake. And I don't think she was necessarily going into hypothermia, but my mind goes, oh, my God, she's about to go into hypothermia.
That poor girl.
Because if you see our lead actress, she's tiny. She's, you know, she's a tiny girl. And, you know, so we all felt for her. I didn't know it was going to be – I didn't – when I bought the outfit, I wasn't – thinking of the cold or thing. You know, we were buying Halloween outfits, so you know, but they all pulled through, and that's the awesome thing about shooting is it becomes a family. So even when you yell at people and you're fighting, at the end of the day you're all like, oh, we've been here for 40 over hours, I don't care anymore, what were we even fighting about, you know?
Right. And then somebody makes the mistake of going, well, you said I was wearing the wrong shoes, and then you go, damn it, that's right, and then it starts over.
Which is so true. It's like, what? But then we remember we're a family and what we're doing, so it's good. In the end, it's good. But, you know, like I said, I'm there to make it perfect, and I can be mean, but that's the good thing about working in film is you get forgiven.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because
when the finished product comes out, they're all thanking you at the end.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Exactly. So, Kat and Phil, tell us a little bit about your show, Bring It.
Okay, so our TV show we work on is Bring It on Lifetime Network. I think we've worked on it for 3 seasons now.
Yeah, 3 seasons.
It's a dance show filmed in Jackson, Mississippi. It's about the dancing dolls. I'm the clearance coordinator on that show, so basically I handle anything legal, anybody that comes in, and he's my clearance assistant. So, again, we work together and make sure that there is no blurred faces, nobody's blurred, locations to material releases. It's just paperwork.
We deal with at least 1,000 people
a weekend.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, and we take pictures of each and every person and collect paperwork from those people.
Yeah.
Yes. Signed clean.
Yes.
Reality TV doesn't play. If you wanna be on, you've gotta have a release. Right. So that's our world, is a lot of legal. It's different than, you know, directing and stuff, but reality TV world's a whole different world to get into, and it's longer paydays and longer times are on there. Like, we're 8 months out of the year on that. So, you know, it's a good paycheck. You know, movies sometimes will be like a month or 3 weeks. So, you know, it's good in this world. We're kind of like roofers. It's when we can get a job, you know. So,
yeah.
So it's good money for us. And we love our family on that show. We really do. We're very close to all of them. So they'll all be going back to L.A. soon, so we won't see them as much.
Oh, no. Are they going to L.A. because they're becoming more of a success on the show now?
Oh, not the cast. No, the show ends in about 8 weeks. This season, we're in season 5B, so it's the end of season 5. You know, everybody will leave for a little while. And I'm not sure, we never know if we're going to get another season or not. It just depends on ratings when they go from there. You know, it's just kind of a weird process on how it works. They want to see how good each season does, and then they change stuff up. And, you know, but we love the girls on there, and we love the moms, and it's a fun show. It's a learning experience. It was a big learning experience to transfer into reality. Not mean-spirited.
So you would probably say that working with reality TV is more like work, while you're working on a movie is more fun. Would that be the right assessment?
Well, what I like about movies is, you know, there's a more creative outlet for me and Phil in movies is what we do. And, you know, you're never doing the same thing in movies. Like, in movies, you know, one day you could be shooting outside in a forest, and then the next day you could be shooting inside in a scary hallway or something, you know, like, it changes so much, and so you're constantly getting to be creative. And, you know, I work art department a lot, so I get to make things and make props and make the worlds come alive for actors. And in reality TV, it's somewhat scripted and somewhat real, so you kind of get the same thing over and over. I mean, like, they'll go to a coffee shop, or, you know, they go here and talk, and they talk about this week. But it's more the producers that take hold of the creative side of that. So we don't really get to do as much creative. So it's more of, like, the same thing, more days, you know. So, yeah, I would say movies are a little bit more fun, more scripted. Or, like, scripted television is more fun. Like, say, Salem, the TV show, or The Exorcist, the TV show. Like, those are scripted. So, you know, one episode could take, what, like, 2 weeks to do?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're getting to play and, you know, see scenes happen. So reality TV is a little easier.
How? Okay, so for Phil, since you do work with Kat, and you also work with her on the Mean Spirited project, how is do you guys ever, like, butt heads?
All the time.
All the time. I figured that, because you're spending a lot of time together.
Yes, yep. We spend more than 12 hours a day.
Together. And we also own a company together, so we're never one. Yeah.
So we bump heads a lot, but the thing about working with Kat is I can't stay mad at her. She can't stay mad at me. So it's like we'll be mad at each other for like 5 minutes, and then next thing you know, we're talking about farts and boogers and stuff.
Hey, that's like our relationship here at the Horror Club.
Yeah,
talking about masturbation.
Right. Well, we do a lot of weird things in our. We get one the other day. We have our own office, and it's called a PO. Is the production office. We're in the PPO, the producer's PO. So we have our own office in there. And I guess our production manager walked by, and we were screaming really loud at each other. And she like opened the door. She's like, "What's wrong? Is everything okay?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm just yelling at Phil, like usual." And Phil's like, "We're fine."
As he's cowering in a corner, like looking for something. Right?
Oh, just hit me over the head with a chair, but we're fine.
Right. We work so many hours together that I think we know how we work. Like, I don't fight with Phil. Phil's my best friend, so it's nice to work with him in this world. I can fully trust him. I was in the music world for over 12 years, and you know, a lot of people take your money and screw you over. And Phil has never once not been there with me when we do movies. Or if, you know, if I get on a movie, I call him. I'm like, "Hey, you want to come work on this with me?" He does the same for me. He helped me start my career. So, I don't know. He's my ride or die.
That's awesome.
That's like how Anna and Lisa are for me.
They're
my ride or die.
I mean, Alex is my other ride or die, but he's just in Vicksburg, so.
Oh, you're just saying that because of the seances.
So you guys did, we're going to go back to the film, but you guys did mention that you had finished wrapping up pretty much the first half of the film. When is the second one going to be finished?
We start up July 16th, right, through the 22nd, Alex.
I believe so. Yes.
I should know those dates.
So it sounds like summertime is going to be when you guys are going to start filming the second half of the movie.
Yes. And then we're going to go into editing and scoring. So, you know, we try to allot a couple months for scoring as well as editing because, you know, it goes through more than one take. So
the reason why we separated them because the first part of the movie is based in the winter time, of course. Well, more of the fall time. In October during Halloween. And then the second part of the movie is more based in the summertime where, you know, it's more bright and more elaborate. So we just separate them for that case.
Truth be it, I really like how Kat, Phil, and I fed off of one another with this because the way that the film is kind of morphed, in my opinion, is it's really become an art house film to a point. And I mean that in the sense where when you pay attention to the cold, burnt October scenes versus the warm, bright summer scenes, it really does a play on emotions. And that's what I tried to do with the short story. That's why it's not told in a non-linear. Well, that's why it's not told in a linear form to start with. And pretty much to see that come over into the short film and then encourage it even further without me pushing that. It was really a pleasure to see.
Yeah, well, it means so much to us. Yeah, me and Phil were very adamant that we wanted a Halloween feel. We fought that a lot with our DPs and stuff. We were like, no, we want orange feel, you know. We want to feel in that October that it feels like Halloween. Like, when I want like y'all to watch it, I want y'all to go put on costumes and eat candy while you watch it, you know. Like, oh, it's Halloween night. Yeah, let's you know. We should do that on the premiere.
Yeah. Oh, and we should have like little goodie bags, you know, yeah. Like little Halloween Aww. Candies and stuff.
That'd be awesome.
That'd do it.
So, what's the plan or the goal for the film?
We have a lot of things we want to do with it. Not just for, of course, for Alex, but we also want to promote it and get it farther than a short to hopefully maybe make enough money to make a full length with Alex. If it's not mean-spirited, it would be something else. And me and Alex have talked about a lot of different things and pitching it to networks. And maybe not just this, but we need a good resume to do that. So it has to enter a whole lot of film festivals to do that. It has to be talked about, you know, we have to promote the crap out of it. So just in order to at least get the movie its own resume. So, yeah. And then we'll start pitching it to higher ups and networks and see where we can go with something. But we definitely don't want to stop working with Alex. He's an awesome writer and we want to keep it going.
Suggestions, well, Cerinthia Falls for the full length movie that you guys
have. Oh, yes. Yes. Right? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Or it could just be a TV show. Just to pitch it as a TV show.
It's so good.
We would watch it.
Thank you. No, working with Kat and Phil, I feel the same way about it. After I had the opportunity to really sit back and observe on set, like, how everything's done. Yeah, it is fun, but at the same time, if someone is new getting into this and they've never really acted before, worked on a film before, any of that, yes, you can have fun, but it is work. It is hard work and dedication. And so as I'm sitting back out of the scenes, like, you know, fact checking, making sure everything's going smooth, because there's one time where a fist bump happened and I'm like Googling it. I'm like, nope, remove the fist bump. That did not happen in the 60s. And so, I mean, it is a lot of work to it, but you have fun while you do it. It's like any other job, really. You have to have fun with what you do. If not, every day is just a living nightmare. But I do want to work with Kat and Phil again, and I want to do it hopefully sooner than later. We had talked about a few different scenarios of where Mean Spirited could go. And I'm open to this being the first of a TV show or even a movie series or something like that. I'd even kind of toyed around with the idea, hey, if we could do something like Tales from the Crypt and have a different scenario for each show, that would be awesome.
Or American Horror Story with all
yeah.
the
stories. Yeah, exactly. So pretty much by working with them and such, I really feel that we're on the same page in a creative sense, and we can rely on each other to be honest with each other and to work through issues and to mainly just have that same goal.
Yeah. And like what Alex said, if you don't love it, you're going to hate being on set. It's like I said, in 3 days, we worked over 40 or more hours at night in the freezing cold. But at the end of it, everybody was so happy. The actors, everybody, you just have to love what you do, and we love it. At the end of the day, I just love seeing what we've created, you know.
And the thing is, you have to try, when you're working with a shoestring budget and you're using your own money and you're using the money that people have invested with you, you have people that come on to the show or movie realizing that if they are going to get paid, it's going to be very minimal. And so what we ended up doing was, all right, we really couldn't pay anyone for their time being here. So mom, dad, grandma, love them to death. They had all got together, and each night we had like hot dogs, sandwiches, pizza, and it was going back to the homestead and getting fed by the parents.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That is sweet.
That's awesome.
But, you know, all of our crew, we all took this on and we all had a meeting. We said, we want to do this for free. We're, no one's taking payment. And yeah, like we usually do. I mean, some people are $200 an hour, but we all believed enough in it that we were like, you know, like we don't want to get paid. Let's do this for the love of it and let's make it awesome.
Well, I'm just going to throw it out there. If you need like three extras.
Well, come on.
just let us know in advance.
Hey, if we ever need like, you know, a radio voice or something, we can be like the Horror Club. Yes.
Right? Let us on like to do like, what is it? Like
some, like a background noise.
Or somebody attacked something and then so we got to be the police scanner people.
Right.
Or a dead body was found on da 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 da.
I would love that.
I know we kind of discussed like the premiere of the movie. What is the like time frame you guys are thinking that the movie will premiere?
We wanted it to be October and I'm still wanting it. I would love to have a Halloween premiere or like a week of the Halloween premiere. I think we all talked how awesome that would be, but it really just it pertains on how sound goes. I mean, we're probably in movies. Even if you do sound on set, you still have to come back and do sound in house. So everybody has to do voiceovers, which, you know, that takes a minute. You have to find people's schedules, you know, just so there's no weird sounding with your mic.
Yeah.
So it's a safety precaution. We have Foley to do, which is like background noise, like people making steps or, you know, like all that stuff. And then we have the score to write, which we're hopefully going to start in that sooner than later. So it just depends on our sound guy and how quick he can get that done.
So we're probably thinking like 2020?
No, not that long. I'm thinking a couple of months after October, if not October.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we're going to work our butts off all night to get it done. But and also, you know, we have to make sure Alex likes it. I wanted to, you know, when we got into this, I told everybody if Alex is an executive producer, he wrote this, like, if he's not happy with something, we're redoing it. He has 100% say. Like I said, a lot of writers don't get 100% say in their movies, and I didn't want that to be that way with Alex. I wanted him to, if he doesn't like the song or something, I mean, like, it's his baby. So
yeah.
It needs to stay his baby. So we also will be doing that. He won't see it. He'll see every edit we see, which is usually not heard of. Usually don't let everybody see the rough edits of things because, you know, some people freak out. We've had customers before that have, you know, beg to see the rough edit, and sometimes when you see an edit without music and without the proper, you know, editing, people think it's like the most boring thing they've ever seen and then they worry.
Yeah.
But you know, once you add the music and everything, you know, it's like watch Halloween without the music. It's horribly boring.
Oh my god, yeah.
Like you're just like watching a man walking around seeing how he looks like, you know, he just looks creepy and you're like, ew, you know, you're not like scared. But for Alex, we know Alex understands that, and so Alex will be in the full editing process. So it'll be a lot sending back and forth. So hopefully if we can keep everybody on the same deadline, we'll hope for it to be way sooner. I really want it to be October so bad.
How is the film going to be premiered? Like, is it going to be at a con, or will it be published on like a internet a web platform?
I think we want to premiere it first. Me and Alex haven't fully talked about if we want it to be a con. We've also talked about running out of theater and doing like a little red carpet, things like that. So it just kind of depends on where we're at. I think we should premiere it at a con and do our own premiere as well, mm-hmm. like two premieres, and then we can put it online. You know, we can get some people seeing it on the big screen as well as all of us getting to see it on the big screen.
I agree.
Yeah.
And, and the thing is, like, a lot of the people who invested in it, I would like for them to have that opportunity where they are actually sitting in a theatrical room and getting that experience versus, you know, being in a con panel room and, you know, having a different experience, because you do have different experiences depending on what kind of auditorium you're sitting in. And I'm not knocking anything about cons or whatnot, but I'm just saying that you're sitting in a theater auditorium, you get more involved in the film that you're watching.
And I think Phil was the one that actually brought up having a red carpet and things like that.
Oh, yeah, it's always fancy to have a red carpet and make people...
He's the star of the show. Of course he wants a red carpet.
I think it should be a blood carpet if Phil's going
to... Oh!
We should make it a Lady Gaga affair. Like, you know,
right.
Meet bloody outfits.
Just have the elevator from The Shining.
That would be awesome. Just blood elevator.
When you guys premiere it, though, and you have a date, let us know, and we might be able to come.
Oh, awesome. My God, I would love that.
Oh, my God, I could show you all around. We could have, like, just a big old party.
All right, if we're ready to play Would You Rather a Filthy Edition, we can go ahead and get started. Let's get filthy.
I thought you were going to say, let's get Phil. I was like, okay, well, whatever you like.
All right, so since there is six of us answering the questions, we'll just go in order of, let's go with Kat.
Oh, no, okay.
Kat first, Phil second, okay. Alex third, and then we'll do Frosty, Anne, and then me last.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah. All right. So first question. Would you rather have extra fingers or have tiny Donald Trump-like hands?
I think I would want extra fingers. I think I'm going to go with extra fingers.
Is there a reason why you would go with extra fingers?
I mean, I don't want to be orange. I also don't want to be... everything about him is pretty ugly, so I don't think his hands are much better. I don't know if my husband would enjoy... me having orange man hands. You know, an extra finger might be good.
I mean, okay, we know what you're doing. How about you, Phil?
Okay, I'm going to go with extra fingers as well. Only because small hands are disappointing and in more than one way. And also, you know, if I want to slap somebody, I want it to hurt. So extra fingers might help.
Slapping someone with baby hands?
Use my strong hands.
So gross. That's not going to hurt.
Backhand him.
You're making me think of those little finger hands that people put on their fingers, you know?
Oh, yeah. God.
Little doll hands. It's grossing me out.
How about you, Alex?
I'll go with the extra fingers because it can make freckle punching so much more interesting.
Oh, my God.
Anna?
Oh, no, you missed Frosty.
Oh, okay. We'll go with Frosty.
I thought Anna was before me, but I'm going to go with extra fingers. Simply because I think with extra digits, I'll have more dexterity and maybe I can climb walls and stuff.
Cool.
I mean, you never know. There could
trying
be
trying to make powers. That mutation into
into a superpower.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of the Princess Bride, so I want that extra finger.
Oh, that's the six-fingered man.
Yeah, the six-fingered man. Yeah. I guess we're all going to have the extra fingers.
My God, Anna referenced a movie before the 90s, for one.
Hey.
But this is a rarity, guys, that you've witnessed. Anna usually never understands anything. Anna hasn't even seen Star Wars.
Oh, me either, Anna. So you're not alone.
Oh, look at that.
No.
Look at that. What a shame.
The Sopranos. Is that the name?
What?
Is it The Sopranos? What? No, The Godfather. He hasn't seen The Godfather.
Oh, no. No.
I haven't either, Phil. It's okay.
It's okay. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. I will forgive you.
I won't.
Yeah, I won't either.
Next question. Would you rather steal from a blind person or tell every kid you see that Christmas is canceled?
I think I would do Christmas is canceled because that just seems like something that I want to do when I'm old. You know, I want to be the old.
You're just going to be that old, late, grumpy lady saying, yes. Christmas is canceled. This
it's not real.
No presents for you, Tibby.
Too much fun, so I'm going to go with that one.
I know it's wrong, but I think I'm going to steal from the blind man. Only because... only because I'm going to be the only one who knows I stole from him.
You and
he's
God.
He's not
going
to know what you look like.
Yeah, and everybody else who's around. What if there's people that see you?
You really need to buy that burger?
Sorry. I mean, I wouldn't take his, like, his stick or anything. I would take, like...
maybe his dog.
Yeah, his support dog. No, I just take his money. He doesn't need to eat.
You're evil.
People, what if he's something like his map or something? Like, what if the old man has a map? He can't
what
read
if he
it.
He has a milkshake, you know? Just a milkshake or a piece of candy. He's not going to notice if a piece of gum's missing.
No, he won't.
Y'all are horrible.
It's the adrenaline that counts.
Oh my god, no.
But imagine him being a blind man like the guy off that one movie. What was it? Lights Out? Or?
Oh yeah. Don't breathe.
Don't breathe. There you go.
Oh my goodness. You're gonna die because you stole a piece of candy.
I would just put that piece of candy back because there's no way I'm still gonna check that.
Well, they tried to, but you know they died.
Yeah, that's why.
How about you, Alex?
Well, here's the thing. I don't like kids. There's a few that I do like that are very well behaved and such, and ones who are creative, I like them too, but for the most part, I'm going to be the old man telling all the little kids that Christmas is canceled.
It just seems like so much fun.
I can see Alex coming out of his porch just grumpy, yelling, Christmas is canceled!
And I'm shaking my cane, and I'm also blind, and I'm really pissed because Phil stole from me.
In my theory for this, I see Alex dressed as Santa telling kids Christmas, which is even worse.
I could see Carrie being like, now
they believe it.
Let's not be mean to the kids.
This needs to happen now.
Yeah. It's Christmas, Alex. Let's do it.
Just do it on Halloween. Dress up as Santa. Walk around.
If they come up to your door, be like, hey, here's a piece of candy. Christmas is canceled. Thanks.
But come back for a second Halloween.
Oh.
There you go.
Santa's into Halloween this year. How about you, Austin?
Anyways.
You know what? I'm gonna be mean and say Christmas is canceled, mostly because, number one, I don't want to steal from a blind man unless it's a quest in a video game.
You would tell your niece and nephew that Christmas is canceled?
Well, my niece and nephew are 9 and 7, so they don't believe in Santa anymore, and they know that they'll get presents no matter what, whether it's Christmas or not, because I'm a friend for them. So I don't think it would really bother them that much, so I would totally tell my niece and nephew, but I also, like I said, I don't want to steal from a blind man unless it's a quest in a video game, mostly because I feel bad for blind people. Being blind is like the scariest thing in the world for me, and to be that vulnerable, you know, and then to have somebody take advantage of me like that, I don't think I could do it. So that's why I would be like, you know what, I'm gonna crush some kids' dreams. Because, you know, I can live with myself if I tell them Christmas is canceled and it's not, you know, rather than to take this, you know, poor blind man who suffered enough and then take his shit, you know, that's just
well, and look at it this way, it would help it where they're not so entitled,
right? Yeah. I remember how I was when I was a kid. I remember Christmas Eve acting like a little shit, and then my mom reminding me that Christmas was tomorrow, and then me immediately doing a 180 and then trying to be good, and I'm like, I like think about that now and I'm like, but I was being a shit and I still got presents. I'm like, the hell.
No, my you mom know? Would beat me. I would I was good or I was good, but yeah. There was no in between.
Yeah. There was no in between for me either.
Well, your mom is crazy. She would throw a shoe at you.
No, that's a Mexican mom and an Asian mom.
Yeah, that's just how they are.
And Anna had Anna had the Mexican mom, and I had the Asian mom. So
no, your mom's not that Asian.
Your mom's Americanized.
My mom would throw shoes at me, and she would also beat me with a wooden hanger.
Your mom didn't beat you because you got a C plus. Okay.
Yeah, I got in trouble for getting a B. A B.
What?
Yeah.
I got a C plus.
It's not an A.
Yeah.
All those blessings, because when I got in trouble, I got a good talking to. Like, we got sat down at the kitchen table with the Bible, and we got a straight lecture.
On my birthday, because I wouldn't share my new new Barbie doll, I got hit with a high heel. Not like the flat part, the actual heel part.
Man. Okay, Anna, so are you stealing from the blind person, or are you telling kids Christmas is canceled?
So when my nieces and nephews were younger and they would be bad, I would tell my sister to tell them that she's taking Christmas away or their birthday. And they would.
Oh, that's so mean.
And the reasoning behind the birthday one, though, they would believe it because you know how there's like short people? So we would tell them that they had their birthdays taken away when they were little, so they never grew.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That is awful.
It worked.
Oh, my God, Anna.
That's bad, Anna. No.
Yeah. The doctor, she was at the doctor's office once, and the doctor was like, oh, yeah, you don't want her to take your birthday.
Well, I'm gonna stick with Phil, and I'm gonna say I'm gonna try to steal from a blind person.
No,
it's all about that adrenaline rush. I'll do it for a piece of candy. I mean, I'm not gonna steal money from the guy, but if he's just sitting there and he has candy out and
it's
looking really good. I want a piece of candy.
Yeah, if he's eating like some chicken or something, I'll take one chicken bone or something.
I'd be like, I stole from a blind man.
Sit there and steal the fries.
Yeah, I wouldn't steal money. I wouldn't steal money or something that's like detrimental to him. No. But like,
fries can be detrimental.
I would be like, I'm just gonna, take some fries. Take a chicken nugget.
Right.
Hey, there's supposed to be four here.
See how long it would take him to notice. Oh, yeah, no, yeah, I'm evil like that, though. All right, so next question would be, would you rather be found dead on a pile of sex toys with porn on the TV, or be caught masturbating in your backyard by a live TV news helicopter?
Oh, my God.
I think I'm going to die.
Now the questions are getting hard.
I'm going to die on the dildos because because that way at least I'm not alive for the horrible things that YouTube will do to that video.
Shame.
And the horrible thing live news, I don't know, what do you do if you get caught live? Like, right now, Kat Axel's in her backyard masturbating. Let's talk to her. What do you do? Just keep, hold on, wait a minute, let me finish.
It is a helicopter view, though. Are they going to be able to see you that well?
I mean,
I'm going to die on the dildos because somebody could have planted me there. And you know what? I'm dead. I don't care. Do what you want with my body. I'm freaking.
The helicopter thing? I feel like they could still tell whose backyard that was. Like, your neighbors would know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to be masturbating in my backyard anyway.
How about you, Phil? What's your choice?
I don't know. That's a good one. I think I'm going to go. No. I think I'm going to go with the masturbating in the backyard. Again, I don't know why, but I'm just going to go with that one.
We need an explanation.
Well, I don't want to die on top of dildos and watch it. That's a horrible way to go out.
You're already dead.
Inside, though.
I mean, Jesus knows what's really going on.
But yeah, that's what I'm going to go with.
I think I'll achieve pleasure under either circumstance, but I'm going to go for the masturbating in the backyard because, as I said, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Especially for Alex.
How about you, Frosty?
I think I'm going to go with TV helicopter because I do believe somebody here earlier said, I think it was Kat, there is no such thing as bad publicity. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to go with that. Local podcaster caught masturbating in backyard.
Wow, podcaster.
Wow. Oh,
well,
God.
Don't do that to us.
Yeah, don't do that to us.
Well, this has become the Howard Stern show.
Right. That's basically
the thing I wanted us to be. We wanted to be Howard Stern, but girls.
Yeah. Anna, how about you?
I'm thinking about it. Would I rather be dead? Because both scenarios are really bad. Do I want to be alive or dead? I want to be alive. I think I want to be alive. So I'll be in the backyard masturbating.
But, I mean, there's no time limit. What if you were, like, 90 and this happened?
Right.
So, I mean, if somebody just put me on some dildos when I'm 90, I mean, who the freak cares?
Probably your grandkids.
Yeah. Look at Grandpa Dog.
Oh, I know she was a liar.
What are dildos, Mommy? Are they dolls?
Can I have Grandma's toys?
Why did Grandma have so many dildos?
What's a dildo, Mom?
Was she a collector?
Why does this one have two heads?
Oh, God.
Collect dolls. Yes. Is it short, Alex? The 90-year-old masturbator that then dies on dildos?
We need to do a movie of this.
We do,
yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I guess I would rather be alive, too. I'd rather be alive than dead on top of dildos.
Y'all are all haters. My dildo death.
All right, next question. Would you rather be trapped in an office tower by terrorists and only have your wits and genitals to save everyone? Or would you rather have sex, but if you drop below 50 thrusts a minute, the bus you're on will explode?
Oh, God.
So, your genitals is like a gun?
Apparently, yes.
Or you're a red sparrow where you sex people up or something. I don't know.
All you have is your wits and your genitals to save everyone.
I'm gonna super go with the saving everybody with my genitals. I feel like that's really cool. Like it's like a gun. They would never know. And then all of a sudden, I just kill all the terrorists with my lady parts. I'm going to go with that.
I think I'm going to go with that one, too.
It's a new superhero.
It's an adrenaline rush now.
It's an adrenaline rush now.
I don't know if I can thrust past 50.
Yeah, that's the other one. That seems like very painful.
Yeah, I don't want to blow up.
It seems painful on both ends, like in the van as well as being thrusted at. Harshly and fastly. Or thrusted upon. There you go.
That's a lot of thrusting, yeah.
All right. Well, I think my genitals are pretty killer, so I'm going to use it to kill terror.
That's pretty cool.
That's the next book that Alex will be writing.
The Genital Killer.
Yeah. How about you, Frosty?
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna be the genital queen too, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Because I don't know, maybe it's not so much sexing somebody up, but maybe like they have magical powers. Like maybe they have teeth in there, like that one movie. Or I can shoot lasers out of it, or I can beatbox with it. You know, I don't know.
I'm just imagining mine would have like hypnotic powers and it would make people do things 2 weeks.
Yeah,
right?
Like a go, super
go helicopter. Woo!
Look at my penis.
I think of Phil's like I haven't heard me that weird, but like, what's that movie with the girl with the afro and she like did all the shows? Was it Blackula? Like not Dracula, but Blackula, I think. Is that right?
No, that wasn't Blackula. I've seen that one. Let's see. There was one where a chick had razor blades in her afro. That was Coffee. That was pretty like, good.
Something like that, where he's like, afro hero.
Where razors come out of my bushy hair. I mean,
he's like, I'm going to get your white ass. That was racist, but I didn't mean it like that at all. Sorry.
Anna, what's your choice?
I think I'm going to go with the genitals, too. I'm hoping that it's only when I want to use it as a weapon. and not all the time, because that would suck. But I also don't want to blow up, so.
That's funny. I guess we're all going to have super genitals.
Yep.
That there shoot, like, laser beams.
There should be a movie about that.
Yeah, we're the new Avengers.
Yeah.
The new Avengers.
The genital Avengers.
The Agenitors.
Yeah, there we go.
Mine will turn into the Hulk.
Hulk smash.
No, now I have a hammer. I'm going to be a Black Widow.
Oh, there you go.
I'm just thinking of all the worst things you could think of with that scenario.
I'll take home Thor because
I was gonna be like, you Thor's hammer.
I would probably have like Spider-Man so shoot webs and stuff.
That was mine. Go.
Swing from a genitals.
No, but you think about it, I don't know if I'd want that coming out of there though.
Oh my goodness.
See, that's why I picked Black Widow, because then you know people just die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here's the last question.
I don't know if that's okay.
Last question. Would you rather grow testicles on your chin or punch a baby?
Oh, oh shit.
I think I'm going to punch a baby.
Oh.
Well, I mean, it's just like one time, and, you know, we can be like babysitting it, and the mom won't know. I mean, just real quick.
Real quick,
punch. Just everything will be fine. The baby will be fine.
Okay, hold on to this pillow while I punch you.
I don't really want testicles on my face, so I think you're going to punch me.
Right.
Okay. All right. Phil, how about your option?
Oh, I think I'm going to punch the baby, too. But I'll probably be delivering the baby and, like, punch it, and then, like, oops, I'm sorry, my hand turned into a fist. I thought I was having it.
How about you, Alex?
I'll take the balls on my face because I think people will quit playing with my beard then.
You would have a beard still.
Yeah, so but they really would be notice the little ghiblies there, you know.
Every ball chin.
I don't want to know if I want to talk to you if you like have an erect jawline.
Like, that's only when I have like lockjaw, I think.
Oh my god.
Frosty, how about you?
Yeah, I'm gonna grow genitals on my chin because I love babies and I don't want to punch
make
a baby.
The sacrifice.
I will take the sacrifice. I will grow the balls on my chin, and then when people ask, why do you have balls on your chin, I'll be like, you know what? I saved a baby.
Oh, there you go.
Like, it was either this or punch a baby. Couldn't do it.
Yeah, I think I'd punch a baby, but I'd give them a pillow first.
So she's gonna suffocate them before she punches them.
This is gonna hurt. You're gonna need to be passed out for this. Here you go, baby.
Oh god.
I would punch a baby. It would be a quick one.
Yeah, you don't have to hit him hard. Just enough.
Yeah, just right in the gut.
Just enough.
Just right in the soft area, not in their face, just like right in their stomach.
Oh my god.
You know, you just do a quick like backhand punch, you know. It's all good. Making sure the baby wasn't choking.
And that would go great with the small hands, whoever picked that one for the first question.
Right. But no one picked that one. No one picked the small hands. We all got extra fingers for punching.
Right.
Damn, that's
what we
baby.
Wanted to do.
All right, so that's the end of our Would You Rather game.
So when I market this on Facebook, I'll be like, death on dildos, freckle punching, punching babies, extra fingers, balls on chin.
And masturbate in the backyard.
Yes, yes.
Death on dildos.
And the ratings will go through the roof.
Awesome.
All right. Frosty, I'll let you wrap it up. You just want to go ahead and ask them to do their shameful plugs. And...
Oh, okay. So go ahead, shameful plugs.
she so knows how work. To run a show.
That was so hard work. All right, Alex, shameful plugs.
All right. If you would like to see some of the short films I've done for fun that are experimental, also, if you would like to purchase my books in paperback or ebook, with the exception of Cerinthia Falls for a small amount of time, that's going to come back to the public. I promise it will. Just go to my website, www.alexandersbrown.com. Also, select from the scroll down menu my newsletter tab. Sign up for it. Your information does not get shared with a third party. And it is free of charge just to have some mindless fun once a month.
And then Phil and Kat, shameless plug.
Awesome. You can follow me on Facebook, Philip C. Washington, or on Instagram for the number 4_DA_throne. That's for the throne. And you can check out some of my work, my VFX work, and some of my acting stuff as well on Facebook and Instagram.
You can check me out on also Phil on IMBD if you want to check out our credits. Some of our stuff isn't on there, but it will be in a little while. You can also watch the TV show Bring It. I work hard on that. Also, you can go to my Facebook, www.facebook.com/KatAxtellHarrod, and then also my Instagram, KatIsMe1234. Also, we're in the works on finishing up our webpage and our YouTube page for Modern Amusement, which is our company. So just keep a lookout for that. And like I said, we both act, so look us up. See what you like. Let us know what you think. And thank you guys.
Thank you guys for coming on to the show. I hope you guys had fun.
Oh, this is a lot of fun.
And thanks for having me back. You girls are some of my favorites, and it's always a pleasure to be on here. It's like catching up with family every time.
Oh, thanks, Alex. That means a lot to us.
We agree.
Well, thank you guys again for coming on the show.
And then hopefully we can get you guys back on again, maybe when Mean Spirited is released.
At this time, we would like to thank you for joining us at the Horror Club. Please feel free to like our Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram. Like, comment, and share, because we just love. And if you really hated your time with us today... Sorry, we're not sorry.